tonight to the 11th verse in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. It seems like that every time is a special time, a special truth that God wants to speak to us. And as God illuminates this word to our hearts, it seems like that we can't do without this truth. And we need to respond to it. There's many areas here that I think are, that we'll look at tonight that I hope will be helpful to us. I trust that we can come out of a place of what I would term lethargy, stagnation. Now, maybe you don't like those words, maybe they're too strong to us, but there's a place that we like to come to, we feel comfortable, because we understand everything, and it's very difficult to get us out of that place. And this is where God wants to get us out of. He doesn't want, never want us to become comfortable with any area of truth as far as the revelation is concerned. Let me read these scriptures to us. He himself, 11th verse, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, listen now, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, these are not simple statements. These are, we need revelation to see what this is all about. And then we need continued revelation. God does not give us a revelation without a continuing unfolding of that revelation. I would venture to say that most of us get hung up on a revelation along the way, and we fail to get the enlargement. In other words, we fail to let God enlarge us and continue to move in the enlargement that He's giving to us. Because we feel comfortable with this. Something that we may hear, something that we may grasp, something that we may understand, but God is always moving. God is always moving us onward. There's always a revelation moving that will bring us to God's ultimate end. And now we can say here that each one of us, we need to see in measure, at least in some measure, the ultimate of what God has in mind. Do you think each one of us have some knowledge of that, the ultimate of what God has in mind? That must possess us. I mean, take a hold of you. Take a hold of your whole being. It must fill your heart, your mind, your thinking. And of course, we have to have a renewed mind if we're going to think in this realm. But this is what this particular scripture speaks to us about. It speaks about us moving on. It speaks about a growing revelation. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me take us back, as I did last week, to the 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Now that should be the initial working, the hope of His calling, to know what that calling entails as far as our lives are concerned. Because if there's nothing that's gripping our hearts, is we have no, what you would say, priorities in our lives, then the world reaches in and starts to give us areas that we're going to have to fulfill if we're going on as far as the world is concerned. But if we have priorities that are spiritual priorities, then it bypasses all that the world throws at us, because our love is not in the world. Faith overcomes the world. Faith moves on through. So our priorities must be what? What is our priorities? God. You know what that means. I don't think any of us fully knows what that means, but let's start from there. To love God just for Himself. That's why I say, if God tonight would remove all of His blessings towards us, would we still love Him? Hello? Huh? Would you still love Him? Would you love Him for Himself, not for what He does for you? This is a place of maturity. It's a place of seeing what real love is all about. And of course, when we start to allow this to reflect into our spiritual knowledge, then it also has a bearing on the expression of our love and receiving love from others. When in essence, most of us, we're looking for love, and that isn't what God tells us to do. We are to be giving love, not looking for love. And this always throws us in a loop. If somebody loves us, then we can love. God says we are to love whether they love us or whether they don't love us. And so we've got to move on. We've got to be obedient. I was dealing with a young man a few days ago, and I said, it isn't how you feel. It's just simple obedience to what you know. And that's what it amounts to here. We can think, we can rationalize all of these things. God says, love Him and love others because I tell you to love. And I've given you the ability to love. You don't love them because they're lovable. Hello? Huh? If you're not willing to learn this lesson, it's going to be a hard lesson for all of us. Because here's the lesson we must learn. We must learn how love functions. And of course, as we start to see this revelation, we start to see that God is able to and is moving on our behalf to bring it into expression. But He's given these gifts, and these are ministering gifts that are given to us, not only to watch out over us, but to bring the gospel to those that are lost. But He's given us prophets, apostles, He's given us teachers, He's given us pastors, and all of these have their individual function. All of it is to bring us to a place of what? Full stature. To bring us to a place of fullness. So if we stop along the way and we get taken up with different aspects of our experience, what's going to happen? Well, all of us have been aware of this, because all of us have stopped along the way to look at the birds and whistle at the birds early in the morning, you know. We thought it was just to enjoy ourselves. We were so much taken up that we forgot where we were going. My sister, Doris, she used to go to school. We walked over a long path of sand. It was about 2 miles to school, and she usually was always late because she was out looking at the birds as she walked along. I can't remember that. It's the same way with us. We're taken up with some of the wonderful things that we think are the blessings of God, and they are, but God wants us to be taken up with Himself, not worshiping the things that God has blessed us with, but to worship and go on into the fullness of what God has for us. And there's only one way we can do that, and that is if there is a revelation to begin. That means a simple revealing of God's Himself to you. Now, we've all had that experience if we have Christ tonight. We've all had that experience. Now, the difficult part. And you may think, I got it. I'm on top of it. The difficult part is to get you to move and change as God continues to enlarge the revelation. That's the difficult part. We bask so much in the past. We bask so much in the blessings that we have lost the true vision of what lies ahead. This is what I'm saying. What lies ahead? What moves you on? You must see more than you see today if you're going to move on. In other words, you will camp right here. That's why so many people today, they have seen a certain truth, and here's where they camp. You talk to them. That's all they talk about, is their experience in that one area. God wants to enlarge us. God wants to bring us on. There's no end to what God will do for us. But we've got to be willing to be conformed to ever what He is revealing, and he is always, let me put this to you, he is always enlarging the revelation to us. God never stops. This is not just a one-time, little, tiny, simple truth. This is the vastness of God Himself. And He never stops opening this up to us. There's a constant enlargement. Glory. And whether you respond in obedience and you move on, and that means a continual moving on, not looking back. We're prone to look back. We're prone to look back and rejoice in something. But looking back never does it. We should be a people that are looking ahead. What possesses you? What holds your attention? Is it not what's ahead? Is it not the blessed hope? What lies ahead? It's not what experiences you've come through that gives you the strength. It's what God has purposed for us. That's why He said, full stature, which is in Christ, bringing us to a place of full stature. Let's go back. Perfecting the saints, but then it says, till we come to the unity of the faith. A lot of people don't think we'll ever make it there, but I'm convinced that this scripture tells us that we can come to a unity of the faith. Now, if we don't believe that, we're not going to come there. If we're not willing to obey, we're not willing to move on, then we will get a hold of a certain area of teaching, and that's what we will cling to. That will be our security rather than the living Christ Himself. That doesn't mean that God is not absolute and His truth is truth, and that you do not need truth to govern your life, because those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's no question about that. But you can never stop along the way and take a hold of these areas, because you'll become stagnated and you won't move. And you'll rejoice in it. You'll rejoice. We know this. We've seen this truth. If you've seen the truth and you're satisfied with it tonight, then something's happened to the continue. There's something that should thrill you, that brings you on. There's something that lies ahead that's far more glorious than anything we've seen yet. And it could be just around the corner. But what God's going to reveal to you? Are you going to stop and be taken up with that? With even Him, what He reveals to you? Because all of this is a revealing of God. But God doesn't want you to get taken up with and stop. Growth is to move on into full stature. Do you have some grasp what that means? Right? Just a little bit, huh? What is that? Poquito?
Poquito.
Poquito. Poquito. Okay. Poquito. I think we have just that amount, just about a little. We have a little grasp. But what I'm saying tonight here is we need to, in our minds, because our minds should change. There should be a quickening of the spirit that changes the spirit of our mind to where no longer do these earthly things hold us down. No longer do certain truths and blessings of God hold us down. But we're moving towards a higher goal. This always does one thing. It brings us down to where we can help others. If you're zeroed in on a truth, I don't care how good it is, usually you're basking in the sunlight of your own understanding rather than in service to others. Continued growth brings you to a place that you can love the unlovely. No conditions. Love is pure. We have trouble with this because we don't know how to do this, because we're looking to ourselves, we're looking to our understanding rather than looking to the Spirit of God. God will teach us how to love unconditionally. Because if you try to do it, you'll compromise. Because you'll say, well, I've got to love, God tells me to love, so I compromise to love. God never calls us to compromise to love. He never compromised to love, and He doesn't call us to compromise to love. Do we understand that? We're never going to be able to love. We're never going to do it until we have come to a place to where we're no longer children tossed to and fro. We must come past these things that continue to, they may be a blessing for today, but if you got them tomorrow, they're not a blessing any longer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, pardon my one day expression, because it may be a week. It may take a month to just get one truth, but you don't stay there. I liken it as one day. In other words, if God reveals something today, in the timing and in the economy of God, let's say tomorrow, using that for an expression, we need to move on. If God's not revealing something more to you, you need to say, Lord, while on others you're calling, do not pass me by. God has never called us to stand still. God has called us to move on. I mean, grow. We can't talk about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and think that we can stand still. Now, we've already talked about that we need to see by revelation the hope. We need to see what it means, our inheritance in Christ. All of these things are there. We need to see what power is working on our behalf, what's working in us. But all of it is centered on one thing, and that's God Himself. But if we stop along the way, and let me just give you an illustration. If you get caught up with just fellowship in itself, if you get caught up with church truths, if you get caught up in any of the things, that doesn't mean you forget them, it doesn't mean you lay them aside, it doesn't mean you compromise them, but if you get up, and that's what you see the church to be, the church is the body of Christ. And we're growing up into Him into full stature. God wants us to come on up higher to where we're moving. Now, the scriptures are very clear. You can read it over there in John. I'm not going to take the time right now tonight to read them to you. But I think if you'll read through 1 John, that you'll see that there's an area that we are to walk as He walked. We are to be here as He is. You can't do that if you're caught up with just certain concepts. Concepts can be good. Your concepts and understanding of the doctrine of Christ can be good, but that's not where you live. You live in a living union. That's why Jesus spoke to the disciples, to the ones that were following Him, and He said, you know, you search the Scripture. In them you think you have eternal life. They speak of Me, and you will not come to Me. Now, this is in essence of what we're talking about here, as far as going on into fullness. There must be changing taking place in each one of our lives. It's hard to get us out of where we're at. I was telling my wife, coming up, I was looking at her and she's looking at me, and I said, you know, us old birds are hard to change. It's hard to change. It's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. Yeah. And of course, this is not the truth of what we're talking about, because we're a new creature in Christ. But we get so grooved in, so cemented in our minds and our habits, that when we come to this place, we're hard to change. But man, we need to get plowed into where we can change. God wants to change us and change us and change us. You say, well, how far does He want to go? Full stature. He's going to bring us. Now, what I mean by change is growth. I'm not talking about that you're going to be different in any essence of what He is changing you to. It's going to be growth. But if you never change, there's not going to be any growth. You'll stay someplace. And you may be right. You may have a truth. And it may sound good. But you have stopped in your growth in God. No place can we stop. There's no place for us to stop along the way and admire what God has done for us. He is entitled to our whole worship, our whole heart. And that brings us to a place. Are we really set aside for Him? Is our lives really set aside? Are we really looking to this place of letting Him be all that He wants to be in our lives? Because how can we grow if He's not all? We can't, right? So we need to respond, and we need to realize that I cannot stay in the same place. I cannot be here. In terminology now, I cannot be here tomorrow when God is showing me another place to move. I need to move in what He showed me. But that isn't the end. Never is the end. And when it becomes the end, and we become stagnant. Have you ever drunk from a stagnant well? Yes. Never have?
What do you mean by stagnant?
It's not flowing. It's polluted. Well, I'm liking it in unto our lives when we stop along the way and there's no flow of newness working in our lives. And then we think that people want what we got. That's been the trouble. People don't want what we got. We have become those that have taken and allowed our lives to stop along the way. We have a form. We've got truths, but they're looking for the life. Life moves on. God moves on. All I'm saying tonight is, we cannot take and stop along the way. God is moving. I can tell you that. You know that. God is moving with revelation. Now, the revelation enlarges. We must be willing to let it enlarge us. Go ahead and shout. Y'all look so sad. We've already talked that it's God that's going to do the work. It's God that worketh in you the will to do. What I'm trying to do is stimulate and if do nothing more than to take and lodge us out of that place that our mind has become stagnant in its thinking and think that what we are moving in is so wonderful because we know certain truths. The only thing that's wonderful about it, we know Him. If we think we know truth, we haven't even started. If you don't shout, I'm going to shout tonight. Because this is a place that, this is one of those times, like I was talking about at the beginning, that you feel like, Lord, we need this, and we need this very moment to where we can move on. Because many of us, we have stopped. Our thinking has brought us to a certain thing. We are engaged in certain truths. But your mind should be filled with the ultimate. Even though you're not there, your mind, your whole passion of your soul, everything should be taken up. Your will taken up with one thing, ultimate. Keep that in mind, ultimate. If you ever look down and rejoice in what God is doing today, look up and say, Lord, there's something richer and fuller for me tomorrow. Don't let me stop here. Glory. Because we think that, you know, this is it. This is not it. Because it'll be just like you take a hold of it, and all of a sudden, what you think you have a hold of disappears right in your hands. God wants to take us to full stature. Paul says a lot of things about this. We're going to read in a minute. And of course, we always have got excuses, and we don't want to look. We're not looking for excuses tonight. We're just looking for the revelation of God to be poured out through us. He's doing the work. Remember that. Always remember that. It's not you. It's Him. He's doing the work. Turn over there to Philippians for a moment. Third chapter, Philippians 3. I'm going to start to read at 17. People are looking at you. You're here for a purpose. What are you revealing? You know why so much of the world is turned off tonight? Because they don't see us partaking of the reality. We're not moving on. We've stopped along the way. Oh yeah, we've got truth. But they're looking for love. And of course, we've got our own ideals of how love should be expressed rather than the living God working in us and loving through us. Now, listen to what Paul says here in this particular chapter in Philippians, because I think it has a lot of areas that can really encourage us. 17th verse, 3rd chapter. Brethren, join in following my example. Alright, each one of us are an example. Somebody's looking at you. Now, don't become self-conscious, because here we turn back and say, well, you know, I'm just human. Forget that you're just human. When God came to abide within you, He took away that aspect of self-condemnation and brought you to a place that you can be what He wants you to be. Now, you need to move on. But don't sit back and look at yourself. You die. A lot of times we find ourselves looking at ourselves. Don't look at yourself. You haven't got anything that's beautiful. Only what He's giving you. And if you don't watch out, what you thought you were admiring, what He was doing in you, will turn in your hands and become nothing but rust and decay. Pride. We have to move on. Moving on, moving forward every day in the life of God, responding to Him, is the only thing that can produce an example of the living Christ. And that's why I'm emphasizing tonight. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. These were some real challenging statements from Paul. Now, maybe you think that we can't make these statements. We should be able to make these statements. God's doing the same thing with us that He did with Paul. Paul was a servant. He was a chosen vessel. God chose him. We're chosen in Christ Jesus. We're not Paul. We're not trying to be like Paul. But we're trying to be, as the Lord has designed, a member of the body of Christ. And we also can make these same statements. Our lives need to be an example. If they're not an example, something's wrong. Shout. Glory! Where are the people that's looking on that want the reality? Where are they going to get the pattern? If they don't see a living relationship with you, not a set of doctrines. It's easy for them to pick out and say, well, you believe this and you believe this. But beloved, when you're in love with Jesus and you're moving on and you're being changed and transformed and the fragrance of heaven is flowing out from your life, it's not in doctrine any longer. It's in a living union with God. And that's why I say we cannot stop. I don't care how great the revelation God wants to take us on. Paul said this as he went on. He said, I press on towards the mark. In other words, he didn't look behind. He didn't see maybe his failures and all of that. But he said, did he have any failures? Well, he wasn't perfect. He hadn't attained. He said that. So to press on, that's something to him. That means something to us tonight. Pressing on. Go on farther. For many walk as whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. In other words, if the heavenly revelation is not changing us, then our minds and wills will be set upon the things of the world. And this is what he's talking about, right? For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nice choice of words. Are you eagerly waiting for Him? Are we taken up with certain areas of understanding rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who will transform our lowly body, which that it may be transformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. You can see the ultimate. You can see the end of what God is doing. Therefore, my beloved in law and long for, brethren, my joy and crown to stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I beg certain persons. Erodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labor with me, whose name is in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Man, you can see the working of God in the reality of His presence in the lives of each one of us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on to tell us about what to think about. And we need to get some victories there too, right? Can we? Sure we can. This is what God can do. This is what God is doing. And when we get our minds to where they are more spiritual, we'll see. Say last week, you don't know to do, you do and know. If you haven't got that, write it down. Knowing comes after doing. I will obey, Lord, if you'll tell me why. No, you obey and then you'll know why. Now, let me give you another one. Here's one that will jar you. You don't know anything about love until you love. You can talk about it all day. When you love, then you'll know about love. But you cannot know love unless you love. This is all bringing us up to more of a fullness, full expression of God. Because a lot of times when we talk about fullness, it's so far in out there that we don't think we'll ever attain. And if you get caught up with that kind of mentality, you probably won't go anywhere. You won't take any steps. But when you get caught up with loving Jesus, He's going to take you on step by step. You're going to be with Him leaping over the mountains. Right? Isn't that what it says? Like the hart over there in the Song of Solomon. Come away, my beloved. Just leap over the... What is He talking about? He's talking about just this here. That if we get our eyes on these little tiny things, we cannot take and move as God wants us to move. We will not change as God wants us to change. We will be taken up with these little tiny things along the way. And God wants to and is, let's put it that way, He is changing us. The revelation is coming. The question is, can we take and respond in a quicker way? I think if we're mindful of it, I think this is where knowledge comes in. We need knowledge of the Lord. That means we need to experience it. But if we realize tonight that the only way that I'm going to really grow is if when the revelation comes, that I am willing to be changed into the present revelation. Not that the revelation changes. It enlarges. And we need to be enlarged. That's what we're talking about, full stature. It isn't that we have changed who we are. We're just being enlarged. Right? You're growing into full stature. It doesn't mean that you do not have the life of God, but you're growing on up into the fullness of Christ. Is that true? Now, do you believe that that's a reality? You believe that's obtainable? Oh. There is no other place but in Him. So we shouldn't make any other place in our thinking other than our union with Christ. But if we're not responding, if we're not moving, then we are stagnated. We slow down. Doesn't mean God is finished with us or anything like that. But we're talking about going on into perfection. We're talking about going on into maturity. We're going on to where we can truly be an example. Paul couldn't be an example when he just begun. Man, it was on and on that he was able to say, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. He had followed Christ. You can't tell people about love unless you've loved. Shout out. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Okay, it's telling us something here. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Hearts must be pliable, must be moving, must be responsive. We can't become hard and indifferent. A lot of times this is what happens. We become hard because of our understanding. We become hard in our concepts. God wants us always to keep that pliable heart. Can we do that without compromising? Only if you're in God. Only if the Holy Ghost is working in you. Your life is being led by Him. You can't do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own, you will become hard. You'll grab certain teachings and you'll become hard and you'll demand it from others. The love of God moves right on and is revealed in Christ. We are here to be examples. You can see in the 19th what has happened to these ones who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Then he goes on to say, if indeed you have heard Him, not that if you heard about Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Christ. Because this brings it down to this personal union and fellowship with God. All right, let me just quickly say, here's what we're saying tonight. There is a revelation. And each one of us, we see dimly, as in a glass. One day we're going to see and we're going to be known as we're known. But right now we see dimly. And God's not going to leave us just seeing dimly. The revelation is going to enlarge. When it enlarges, when it comes to you, God expects you to respond to Him. Not stay where you're at. Not be satisfied with what you had yesterday. We could illustrate it as the manna. I mean, the manna was terrific. It tasted sweet and everything else today when you gathered it. Tomorrow, it had worms in it. It is already rotted. It's the same thing with the revelation of God who continues to work. It's only good when it's bringing you to a place to where you will respond to it. Once you have responded to it, God's not going to leave you there. You're not here to propagate a doctrine.
Amen.
You know that now. You're not here to propagate a doctrine. You're here to show the person of Christ, to be an example of Him. He's within. Sometimes we forget who's within.
Amen.
We do. That's the reality. If all of us would stop and take note that God dwells within us, it would change. And it needs to change us. We need to come on and change. And move on with real understanding in what God is revealing to us. Not understanding, intellectually understanding about facts, even what I'm saying tonight. Because I'm not the one to give you the revelation. God gives me a revelation. God must give you a revelation too. I can tell you all night what God's telling me. But unless God reveals it to you, it's not yours. And we trust that He will open up and give you understanding to where you too, you've got to take a step. I can't step for you. You can't step for me. You have to take. You have to grow. You have to be enlarged. Now, do you believe that God wants you to be enlarged? Do you believe that He is going to take us to full stature? Because if you don't believe that, it's for sure you're not going to do anything about it. You put that on the back burner. You say, that's too much. It's impossible for me to attain there. I can't do it. Who said you could? That's what the new covenant is all about. It's what God can do. Can He present us to the Son? A chaste virgin? Without spot or without wrinkle? Blameless? Can He do that? Huh? There must be some change. I'm not saying tonight that I know what the next change is. I'm saying that if we're moving in any revelation at all, there's going to be a continual enlargement of that revelation. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God's not standing still. God's God. And when we start to see the vastness of God, we realize that He's not one that is stagnated. He's moving on. It's like the Song of Solomon. He's knocking at the door. She sees the handle turn. She's too late. He's done gone.
What's here?
Come away, my beloved. Now, you may get caught up in the romanticism of this, but I'm caught up in the reality of it. But God is speaking to us that if we're going to be what He wants us to be here, we must be with Him. We must come away from the pull of everything that this world has, the love of this world, and come away with Him. Be changed. Then we can stand here and we can say with the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. We're here to be an example. Not in ourselves. Man, don't sit around and look at yourself and me look at myself and think what I can do for God. Don't get caught up with your relationship with God. He'll take care of everything that people are looking on and seeing and being partakers of. But I'll guarantee you, if we're taken up with just teaching, our blessings will never be taken up with Him. Would you agree? That's the trouble sometimes, our relationships. We're taken up with what each other can do for each other. We're not taken up with each other. Go ahead, hallelujah. Amen. These are hard truths, and I'm trying to make them just a little bit easier. But they're hard truths. We have to be shaken sometimes from the place that we're looking at ourselves or looking at the blessings of God. Come away, my beloved. In other words, let God take us on out there to where we can leap over the mountains with Him. And God's got to show us what that means. But you understand, I think, a little bit of what I'm talking about, right? I'm not earthly bound. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Is that true? Now, can you see yourself also down here as a servant? Oh. Let me repeat it one more time. Revelation coming to our hearts, and each one of us, if we're alive in God, revelation is coming. The revelation never stagnates. It's always enlarging. That means it's changing. And it needs to be changing us. We have something a part to play in this. Sometimes we don't think we do. Sometimes we sit back and say, well, God will do it. We've got to realize, and I think I've pressed it hard enough to us to realize that there's one thing. God's looking for belief from us. That means obedience. In other words, if you're believing, you're obeying. If your son, like he was, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. What did he look towards? The glory that he had with the Father. What are you looking for? What lies ahead? What's out of this world? Are you looking for something in this world? This is one of the things that I'm hitting hard at tonight in all of our lives. And I'm not pointing at you. I'm just pointing at all of us here. That we don't need to get earth bound. We need to get heaven bound. We need to realize who we are. And when we realize who we are, there must be a change. When revelation comes, do we know when it does come to us? When God is speaking to us, are we responding to Him? He's given us all the ability that we need. The power that mightily works within me. Same power is working in each one of us if we'll allow it to work. Now the thing is, I said here a few weeks ago, it's unbelief and lack of vision or lack of revelation that hinders us the most. The lack of revelation is because we're not walking in the light that He has given to us. That's why we have a lack of revelation. In other words, we're hung up somewhere down the line. God wants to pour, just continue to pour the revelation upon us. Changing us, enlarging us. But the reason we're not there is because we get stagnated along the way. We get taken up with some aspect of God rather than God Himself. Pain is only involved when I'm hanging on to something.
But we must walk in what He did.
That's right.
Pain comes usually from not wanting to turn loose of where I'm at. And that's all of us are going to find someplace along the line that it seems to be more painful in this area maybe than another. Somebody else may be going leaps and bounds, but we're having trouble here. Well, we need to encourage. We need to exhort one another. We need to be those that are loving and caring with each other. We're not saying that everybody's going to take and be like somebody else, but what I'm encouraging us tonight is that the revelation that God is revealing to you, tomorrow is going to enlarge. Move in the enlargement. Don't stay gazing at what you saw yesterday. Are you all convinced that God does continue to enlarge our vision? Huh? We're the only hindrance to the enlargement. In other words, we hinder the enlargement when we will not move on. He's long-suffering. He doesn't get behind us and beat us with a stick. But we're not going to progress like God wants us to unless we have a proper understanding. Let me again go back. Well, I've already said this before, but let me say it again tonight. In the first verse of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, because we went over that the other week. But here it is. Therefore, prisoners of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. There's a secret. That's a whole aspect and attitude of our hearts towards each other as we move on. When we encounter pain, what do? We pray for one another, don't we? Don't think that we have lost everything when we got a little pain in it. Man, growth has pain. You know it does, right? It's not an easy road that God has called us to walk. Paul spoke about some pain, and we need to come to that place maybe someday along the way. Some of you sisters know a little bit about that pain, your travail in birth. Paul was speaking about a church. He said, I travail again until Christ be formed in you. That's the kind of travail we should be moving through. That's some of the pain of maturity. Because only if we're brought to maturity can we truly reproduce, right? Okay. Now we talk spiritually. We don't reproduce when we're infants, not in the spiritual. And if we're going to reproduce, there's going to be pain. There's going to be travail. So come on. But don't get hung up with it. Because the travail will pass. And you'll forget you ever travail. Because of the glory that lies before you. If you don't believe that, read the words of Jesus. He pressed on for the joys that were set before him. He endured the cross. Despised the shame. There was something prepared for him. There's something prepared for each one of us. And we all want to see each other there. Right? Not just made it by the skin of your teeth, because I don't believe there's going to be any of those skinners there. Skin of your teeth. I don't believe nobody's going to be there by the skin of their teeth. I don't believe you're just going to slip in. You're either going in victorious or you're not going in. There may be some losses, but you're going in victorious. I'm going in victorious if we're going in. Look. Because remember, we think about the rapture, and it's an escape place, yes. But he says he's coming for a church. That's the rapture now, the church. That's what he's going to rapture. Without spot or without wrinkle. What's that mean? Maturity, full stature. Not just maturity as such. Maturity brings us to a place where we can speak the truth and love to one another. Have we attained yet? Are we functioning yet? Is there an increase in each joint? Is there a supply coming out of our lives to others? Not caught up with that. We're caught up with Him. If we're caught up with Him, the works of God will be through us, and there will be a supply coming from each one of our lives. Hallelujah.
Glory. 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 Just stand up here tonight. Glory.
Amen. Roberto, shout a little bit for us there. Hallelujah. Pray for us.
Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in you, O Lord. We rejoice in your marvelous love, O Lord, and your care. We rejoice in you for what you have done for us. And because of the revelation, your revelation, and the expansion of that revelation, O Lord, that you open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, O Lord, and ears unto you, so we can be receptive, so we can have the sensitivity to hear you when you speak to us, and to trust you and obey your word. Mm-hmm. If we want to go on, we need to obey. There's no other way of it. We need to move when you move, Father. So we need to be aware when you are speaking about it. We need to be aware. Need our ears open, and our eyes open, and our hearts willing, O Lord, willing to hear you and move and obey and do your will. Strengthen us, O Lord, with faith. Strengthen us in our walk, O Lord. Lord, such a way that we can keep our eyes on things above, on your things, O Lord, and move and you move, O Father. Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.